There's also a story of the also from Tamsang Pet, but this is from 1981. In 1981, Ajahn Chah spent the three-month rains retreat period some 100 kilometers to the north of Wat Bopong at his hilltop branch monastery, Wat Tamsang Pet. Ajahn Chah was now suffering from a number of debilitating illnesses, and it was hoped that the more salubrious climate there would help him get some strength back. A small sangha would greatly reduce his teaching responsibilities. The remoteness of the monastery would reduce the number of lay visitors, which had now reached flood proportions at Wat Bopong. In fact, Ajahn Chah didn't get very much rest at all. Tamsang Pet was by no means as inaccessible as it used to be. Most of the people unable to pay their respects to him at Wat Nong Bopong were more than willing to travel another hour or two to find him. By this time in his life, Ajahn Chah was too public a figure to find solitude so easily. Wherever he might be, people wanted to see and hear him. At Tamsang Pet that year, it was the same. Somjai Chayalat, a laywoman who went to pay her respects to Ajahn Chah, recounts her impressions. Every morning, Lumpo would walk very slowly across the rocky area between the sala, the meeting hall, and the kitchen, receiving alms. As soon as he appeared, a crowd of people converged on him to put food in his bowl. Those who hadn't brought any food with them or were too late to prepare it in time for alms round squatted on the ground, their hands in anjali, all of them expressing regret at not having the chance to put food in his bowl, ruining their luck. But it was all right. They would get the chance to offer their food in the sala at the mealtime. After the meal, everyone waited for Lumpo to come out and talk with the visitors in the meeting hall. There was a huge number of people and a steady stream throughout the day. In the evening, it was a bit better. Most of the people who'd come during the day had gone back. I listened to Lumpo give teachings from early evening. He didn't sit on the Dhamma seat, which is usually like a higher seat like this, actually, but at his usual place on the raised monk's platform. He taught in a relaxed, informal kind of way, interspersed with periods of chat with various of his guests. I remember at one point in his discourse, Lumpo was talking about making mindfulness continuous, and to show us what he meant, he lifted his kettle and poured out the water at first in drops and then in a steady stream. It was one of the similes that he was most fond of using in his talks. When it was time for Lumpo to rest, his attendant monk invited him to return to his kuti, his cabin, or sleeping cabin. We all just held our breath, afraid that he would leave us. It seemed like he had only just started talking. Lumpo smiled at the monk, but didn't get up, and after a few moments continued his talk for a while longer. The attendant repeated his request to Lumpo to rest, and we all groaned aloud. It was a plea and a protest. Lumpo smiled and said to the attendant monk, "I'll give them just a bit more." And he continued until finally it must have really been time, because when the monk invited him again, in quite a firm voice, he picked up Lumpo's walking stick and stood there with his torch in his hand to show that he was ready to take him back to his cabin. The attendant turned to all we lay people and said to us, "It's already far past the time." Lumpo smiled at us once more in a comforting way like a father. He said, "They won't give me any more time. I suppose I'll have to go." It was as if every single person in the whole meeting hall sighed with dismay. The time had flown by. It seemed that we had only been listening for a few minutes. I'd heard a Dhamma talk from Lumpo's own mouth for the first time, and I was utterly satisfied, but I still wanted to hear some more. So he had that ability to draw people in, and he had that ability to just respond out of compassion. It was always the compassion that generated, even when it was. Was obviously wasn't good for him, And that was a hallmark of his temperament and how he both responded to the practice. I mean, he'd give himself to the practice, and how he responded to people. He'd just give himself to people.